the easiest way to think about it, in my heart, it is, it's like the Holy Spirit who comes alongside of us, addressing the issues in my real life and helping me self-discover or to discover together what are the next steps.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey guys, my guest today on the podcast is Jim Breeden. Though now retired, he served as the AMS for St. Louis Metro Association for 20 years, and we're here to talk about the AMS as a supportive coach. Hey, it's nice to have you with us here today, Jim.
Thanks, Rick. It's a pleasure.
Hey, before we get to the questions, tell me a little bit about your family and your ministry, what led you up to becoming an AMS, and then what you're doing now to fill your days.
Yeah, I've been married to my high school sweetheart, Deanna, for 37 years. We have three children, all grown children, Jordan, Jamie, and Joel. Our youngest just graduated from Boston Conservatory, so we're empty nesters, if you will, though you'll hear in a minute we've kind of added some things. I pastored for 12 years before I went to St. Louis Metro Association. In fact, I pastored 10 of those 12 years in St. Louis Association. Great. So really spent 30 years of my ministry right here in St. Louis. Was the director of missions, of course, the previous title for those 20 years. And just loved it, loved it. Loved working with churches. We had 150 churches that I had the honor to serve. And for a variety of things, primarily care of my mom who moved in with us. She's got dementia, and I do have a special needs daughter that had some issues arise. I retired in June of 19. And so retirement for me is caring for a mom and a daughter while my wife finishes up her teaching degree, and then I do coaching and work with revitalization, replanting, which is my passion.
That's wonderful, Jim. Hey, as you know, the Baptist Association Assisting Churches in Advancing the Gospel, that's the book that SBCAL compiled. You know it well because you're one of the authors of one of those chapters, being a supportive coach. In that book, you say that the AMS has the privilege of doing conferences, consulting, and coaching, but that coaching is the most important. So let me just cut to the chase and ask you the question, why coaching?
Well, I'd say two reasons, Rick. One is the desperate need that pastors and churches have for up-close help, just practical coming alongside. You know, the Holy Spirit is our paraclete, one who comes alongside us. And after many years of attempting to come alongside churches with conferences or consulting, which, you know, I can define and we can unpack as far as you want to, the bottom line is I found they did not help the local church and that leader of those churches accomplish the goals they wanted. In fact, it just was ineffective. And I'm a practitioner by heart, grew up in a construction family, and so I want results. And that's the second reason. Not only do pastors and churches need someone to come alongside them and help them in critical times, we just did not see results, Rick. I mean, again, 30 years in the ministry and 20 years at the association, I measured the health of our churches regularly. And of course, the Southern Baptist Convention has been measuring that in a variety of ways. And we were not happy with our results, with conferencing like crazy and consulting. And so we said, someone, I don't know, came across my path. I think I went to some conference or something, heard something about coaching. And we radically shifted about 7 years ago our entire paradigm to make coaching central to everything we do. And we started seeing changes. We started seeing results. We started seeing people get the help in the churches, the helps they needed. So why coaching? Because it works. People really, I would say, I was thinking before we got on this phone call, you know, only about 20% at the best scenario are churches that are growing and are healthy. And this is all pre-COVID, of course. And about that many churches need direct, close, interactive coaching. And if they don't have it, quite honestly, they stay the same or they go backwards. So it's the only thing we found that really gets change and works and helps our churches.
Hey, and I think you would have that perspective on that, because you serve so long in the same place. So many of our guys have served for only a short period of time, so maybe they don't fully see the need. But if you're listening today, Jim is speaking from the perspective where he has seen the long-term effects of various modes and methodologies in an association. And he's telling us what so many of us already know, is that coaching is really where the difference gets made. So, Jim, you and I both know that there's a lot of meetings out there. They're happening out there in the SBC universe, and they're under the guise of coaching, but they really aren't coaching. So let's unpack it a little bit. What is coaching? And maybe more importantly, what is not?
Yeah. So I'll start with the definition that I and St. Louis Metro used, and then I'll share a couple others, and then just give some specific kind of punches of what makes it different from a lot of other things. In my heart and in our work we've done in St. Louis, coaching's coming alongside a person or a group of people. So I think of either one church leader or a whole group of people in that church. We come alongside one or several over a long period of time, critical that it's over a period of time, and intentionally asking and answering questions. We'll talk about that more here in a minute. Helping that pastor or helping that church to discover or rediscover who they are in Christ, their calling, and best choices for their life and ministry. Now, that's a long definition. I can obviously unpack that quite a bit and talk about each segment, but let me just zero in from our thinking. Coaching is asking and answering questions. Reason why it's so vastly different than conferencing or consulting is because it's more personal, it's more relational. You're talking about issues in their life or in the church's life instead of a conference that's generically talking about, you know, a whole bunch of issues or on a 30,000 foot level. So to me, coaching is asking and answering questions, but I've studied, you know, Bob Logan. I love his definition. His definition, the process of coming alongside a person to help discover a greater agenda for their life and work, to see an agenda become a reality. Has almost the same message, right? Coming alongside. That is the essence of coaching. We ended up landing on the Gospel Coach material, which I know a lot of people are doing now, which I'm thrilled by. Scott Thomas and Tom Wood, their definition is an intentional gospel conversation focusing upon the disciples' personal, spiritual, and missional life. So whether you take any of those definitions, it's the essence of personalized conversation, I would say asking and answering questions. And what it's not, which you said to emphasize, and that's the hard part for us preachers and people who are used to talking so much, is that we think it's either counseling, where we try to fix people. Coaching is not trying to fix people. Or we think it's teaching or preaching, telling everything we know. That's my trap. I want to try to tell everybody that sits across from me from a table or on a telephone everything I know about something, and it's coaching is not that. Or it's mentoring, or it's not mentoring. You know, many of us think that mentoring someone, which is basically getting someone else to do everything we've done for the last 30 years, in my case, if they're a director of missions. And so coaching is none of those three things. And it is the easiest way to think about it, in my heart, it is, it's like the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside of us, addressing the issues in my real life and helping me self-discover or to discover together what are the next steps.
You mentioned just a minute ago, you had a warning of a trap, and you said it's a trap. You know, that got me thinking. There's also a trap out there that would trip up an AMS to think, hey, you know what? I don't have the skills that my pastors do. They're more skilled in certain areas than I am. And how do I coach that guy? And it's important, like you said, this is not impartation. It's not impartation of a skill set. It's not conferencing. It's not consulting. It's drawing out from the individual. And so, you know, when I get that question out there, I always say, do you think these professional athletes out there, that their coaches are more skilled than they are? They're not, but they know how to draw out of the athlete and make his skill set even better. So a lot of AMSs may fall into that trap thinking, man, this pastor is more skilled than I am. How do I coach that? By all means, you can coach him, because it's not related to your skill set. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's a great analogy. Many of us just don't see our blind spots or specific issues that need to be addressed. And so a good associational leader just asks the right question at the right time. And then that good leader, like you're saying, or that good athlete, they know how to take it from there.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, so one of the heart burdens that we share as associational mission strategists is the desire for our pastors to lead from both healthy and strong positions. So let me ask you this. How does coaching strengthen church leadership?
Yeah, so this is where you start getting to the crux and the beauty of coaching, is that coaching, like, you know, again, in contrast to a conference or consultations, gets up close and personal. And the first area I think of how it strengthens them, it gives them clarity. Coaching helps through questions, asking and answering questions, brings clarity to the issues, first of all, the problems that leader or church is facing. It's amazing to me, again, we said earlier, we get so close to the situation that we lack clarity. I don't know, you know, if it's Satan or if it's our own, you know, just inability to stay focused. But when a coach can come alongside and ask some questions about, well, what issues are you facing? What problems are going on? Or what are the goals that you have? All of a sudden, some clarity through that conversation begins to happen. And that's really the first step of clarity that a coach can give, is what are the problems or issues that you're facing in your life or in your church? But the second clarity, and each of these get more important, Rick, is that then what are the solutions to those problems or issues? That's where, I don't know, we lose about 50% of our churches or leaders. Like, many people know the problem or issues, but then they begin to ask questions. What are the solutions? What are the answers? What are the insights? What do you need to do next in this situation or this issue or this problem? And so you can begin to help that pastor or church gain a pathway or gain clarity on the solutions. And then the final area of clarity, which is I have found personally that about 5 to 10% of people can do, is how do you then implement those? So that good coach comes alongside to say, hey, I want to help them have clarity about the problem or issues. Number two, the solutions. But ultimately, hey, we want to implement the solutions. We want to see action. We want to see change. And so clarity is one of the ways that we help strengthen that church or that church leader.
Hey, Jim, I think that right there is golden. The whole clarity of issues, the solutions, and then the implementation. If our guys can just coach their pastors through those three steps, boy, that will really get them further down the road. And not only that, think about the relationship building that happens while that process is taking place.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, so let's take all of this information and try to mold it into something that we can take away from today's podcast. What are some practical elements of coaching that our guys might latch on to and really take to heart?
Yeah, there's several practical things. I would say the number one is to learn how to be a good question asker. You know, you study the Gospels. Jesus, most often, I have told many people, I don't mean this literally, that you could summarize Jesus's entire ministry by asking and answering questions. And so we need to look at the Gospels and just see how Jesus interacted with people and become good listeners and asking the right questions. And as you said earlier, some of us, and I'm putting myself in that case, often intimidated to sit down with a certain leader or a certain church. But there are a lot of resources. I've got a great resource that I've used for years now called Coaching Questions, A Coach's Guide to Powerful Asking Questions. And nearly every coaching book has some good questions you should ask. So one of the practical elements that a director of missions needs to focus on is just to become good at asking questions. And then I would say another practical element is having a good coaching agreement. We're notorious in Southern Baptist life of kind of just going through the motions, or, you know, feeling like if we sit at a restaurant with a pastor for an hour, we've done our duty. But putting some structure to that coaching relationship, what does he want to accomplish? What do they want to accomplish? How long are we going to meet? Who's going to take the initiative? All of the basics of good I don't know, of even having a good meeting, treating mm-hmm. these coaching relationships in the same way and putting even them in writing is a good element that'll make a good coaching relationship. Let me give you one quick example.
Sure.
One of the pastors in our association that did a lot of training for us here in St. Louis, in fact, did the bulk of it under gospel coach, is a guy named Mike Hubbard. And Mike Hubbard, who pastors a church in our association here, he leads guys that they would do all of their coaching by telephone. When I first heard that, I said, man, that's cold. You know, you need to be face-to-face and, you know, you need to be more relational than that. And sure. But the longer I got in this, I realized it was all about putting a good structure to that relationship. And he said the biggest part of doing it by phone is that you are more prone to stay on subject and to stay on task with that person versus just, you know, chasing rabbits and all. So, yeah. So having a good coaching agreement, whether you do it on phone or not, brings structure and some constraints that are beneficial to both sides.
Those are great points. And, you know, in today's world with, I mean, we're doing our podcast here by Zoom today. I mean, we're so connected in so many different ways. And many would argue, hey, that relational touch, being face to face and in the presence. Yeah, that's great. But we can't always do that. And it doesn't mean that it can't be a great coaching relationship if it's not across the table from one another.
Right. Right.
So, as you know, a lot of our guys have been in kind of a mentoring mode, and they're listening today and they're realizing that, hey, impartation of skill set, impartation of wisdom, that's very valuable. We all agree on that. But it's not coaching at its core. So, if maybe they wanted to explore the whole coaching realm a little bit or understand coaching a little bit better, maybe from your perspective, would you mind? Can you give your email address and guys could reach out to you and maybe ask you some questions?
Sure, sure. It's Jim Breeden, J-I-M B-R-E-E-D-E-N, Jim Breeden at iCloud.com.
Great. Thank you for that. Hey, and I have a final question that I always ask on my podcast. And one thing I believe at my core is that a good leader has the ability to frequently readjust their modes, their practices, and even maybe their presuppositions. And so let me ask you this final question. What's one thing that you've recently changed your mind about?
Yeah. So, you know, a big one for me, and I'll share one more recent, but was the switch from conferencing, consulting to coaching. We had to change our whole paradigm of how we budgeted money to how we did things. And it was a huge risk, I thought at the time, but it paid off greatly. But the most recent one for me personally has been, again, my passion is revitalization and replanting churches. Is I have believed for years that any pastor can do that. Okay. With the help of several guys, I've come to conclude that replanting a church is like a church planter. A planter is as different to a pastor as a replanter is to a pastor. In other words, there is a third classification of pastor out there that has unique skill sets and a passion and heart that serves the church well to replant them. And so that took me a while to let go of, because I want to believe every pastor under the Holy Spirit, under God, can do what needs to be done. I still kind of believe that, but just as a starter is different, a replanter is different. That may be the best way to say it.
Amen. I agree with you 100%. Hey guys, my guest today was Jim Breeden. He is the retired AMS for St. Louis Metro Association. Jim, thanks again for sitting down with me.
Hey, it was a great time. Look forward to seeing all that God does through your ministry.
Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.